Could you find it in your heart to pray, not only with me, but for me? I pray with you and for you. God, our Father, again on this morning, this day, the day that we have never seen before, this day that has been afforded to us to worship. The Bible says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And Lord, we pray that we are found guilty of that, that we've made you first. That when we got out of our beds this morning, you were first. As a matter of fact, Lord, when we laid down last night, we had intentions, ambition, desire, that when the sun came up, you would be first. And that we would do what we observe the children of Israel do in the desert life. They were saying, found seated in their tent doors, listening. We would do also, Lord, what the Hebrew writer admonished us to do, and that is to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We've come to hear from you. Like an old camp meeting. And they came from miles around to hear what thus saith the Lord. You still speak like that, don't you, Lord? You still do that. You still talk to people if they'll listen. And so give us listening ears, receptive hearts, and a mind stayed on you. What are you saying to the church? And bless me, I pray. Be a good messenger. Be clear about what you desire from us. And then, Lord, we must be clear as to what we will render back unto you. Speak to us, dear sir. Forgive us of our sins, we must pray, and pray that, God, you will hide us by the blood of Jesus. And bring us out on time. In Jesus' name. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, 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 and amen. Come on, let's bless God together. All over the house, come on. Let's bless God together. Amen, amen, amen. Grab your Bibles and turn with me to the book of James, very near the end of your Bible. If you have your smartphone, your tablet, as I said to the Christian Academy this morning, the table of contents are there for a reason. You don't have to spend your time thumbing through the Bible, flipping all over the place. Just open it up, go to the table of contents, and it'll tell you that the book of James begins on page 500 and somewhere, whatever. And you'll be there. You don't have to do all that guessing. And don't let some of these seasoned signifying folk around you fool you. They don't know where it is either. They just got lucky and started at Ephesians and had a shorter distance to travel. But the book of James, there's nothing wrong with looking at the table of contents. That's just good learning. That's why they put it in every book. It's still there in every book. You get to college, it's still there, just like it was in elementary school. They don't assume that by now you ought to know. No, they want you to get there and get there in an expeditious manner. Amen. That's a big word for don't waste my time. Amen. James chapter 1, I just want to read a little bit. I told you a couple of weeks ago that I just want to try to shape preaching around just one thing. And, you know, good Baptist church preaching sometimes made us think we had to do at least 3 points and a close and all that. And you didn't remember the first point by the time you got to the third point. You forgot what the first one was. And God help us, when we got to the close, you really forgot everything after that. So I want to change it up a little bit. So that's all I'm going to do today, and we'll be gone. Amen. Until we come back again. James chapter 1. Again, I have a New Living Translation Bible. Might read a little different than yours. But I want to start at verse 6. James chapter 1. And then I only want to do or lift up for our consideration the B section of verse 6, which, you know, good people like Sister Scott and Sister Price and them educated people will tell you, you can break it into pieces. So we don't get the whole piece, just the B piece. And simply this, it says, a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. You may be seated. Amen. Thank you, ushers. You all did a right snappy job today. Thank you. I want to spend just a few minutes, and I'll be out the way. I learned something from my pastor when I was a young preacher, and most of the things I learned from him were very valuable to me, and I've tried to discipline myself with that good learning. He's gone now. He's gone on to be with the Lord. And I have a couple of pastors that I've sat under since my original pastor. And you always need a pastor. Even preachers need a pastor. And but my pastor, my original pastor, said something to me that I had to use the other day, and I want to be very mindful of what he told me, and I didn't want to mess it up. And this is what he said to me, Deacon Davis. He said, never preach angry. Yeah. And he explained why. He said, because you may say some things that you can't take back. And when you're angry, you sometimes take it out on the wrong folk. And so I want to set up, I ain't going to take long. A couple of weeks ago, I wasn't here. I haven't been here a couple of weeks. And that's part of being a preacher. People invite me to come places and do things, and I've never really felt uneasy about not being here, because I believe that God is God, and you knew that. At least I thought you did. I've always felt that my pastoral assignment was safe here. So I'll go, you know, something. I don't go a lot because I love y'all. I like to be with y'all. But I wasn't here. But I always check on things. I always call. And you can say what you want, but every pastor's got to have some snitches in the church. Amen. I got some. I'm not going to tell you who they are, because then y'all wouldn't be telling them stuff. But I got people who tell me stuff, and they tell me even the hard truth. And so when I wasn't here Father's Day, I sent a good preacher. And I called the preacher. I said, well, Reverend, how'd they treat you? And he said, man, if I can go to your church every Sunday, I think I'd be all right. Your folk are something. And I felt all right about that. I said, okay, well, that's good news. Then I called one of my internal moles, and I said, okay, tell me how it went. And they said, well, Reverend, thus and thus and this and the other. I said, okay. And then the following week, I wasn't here. And called, and I wasn't happy. Now, I'm going to say this because I got scripture right here. I just read it out in the Bible for you. And I know how to fit preaching around how I'm feeling. And I wasn't happy. I don't like being not happy because I'm trying to do a great work for the Lord, and I'm not going to do it by myself. This is all of us. So James says something that struck me as useful for this moment of preaching. He says, you got to be careful about people with divided loyalties. Because in fact, they cannot be trusted on either side. I was listening to the radio and Hezekiah Walker's song came on, Sold Out. And I listened to that song and I listened to it again and again. And that song was full of preaching. I am sold out. My mind is made up. Y'all know the song. I started to ask Mr. Tyler, had a choir sing it, and that was going to be the sermon. I was going to make him sing it twice. But I'm sold out. My mind is made up. My heart is fixed. Y'all know the song. And it says that nothing shall be able to separate. You know, who can separate us? Listen, please understand something. You have no right to not be sold out for Jesus right now. Amen. Hold on. The song says that they were sold out for the Lord. You don't owe me nothing. I don't have nothing to give you. I can't save you. I can't do nothing but what a good pastor ought to do. I can marry your children off. I can baptize. I can do a wedding or two. I can do a funeral. I do little stuff like that. But your salvation requires a sold out return unto God. Don't y'all look at me with that tone of voice. Sold out is the required response to the sold out sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who died for you on Calvary's cross. I didn't die for you. Ain't gonna die for you. We gonna live together, but we gonna live together sold out. Amen. James said divided loyalties are dangerous to everybody. So, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm saying don't ever make the mistake of not coming to church because I'm not here. That's not loyalty. You ain't saying nothing to me doing that. Don't do that. Okay? Don't do that. Don't fail to present your tithe and offering because I'm not here. We got a $2,600 deficit based on average Sundays. Last week, we came up that much short because some folk decided that the pastor ain't there. Some folk decided that if pastor ain't preaching, there ain't going to be no preaching. That's not good. That's not sold out. Some folk decided not to sing. That's not good. That's not sold out. You can't do that. And James says that you are not to expect anything from the Lord when you do that. It's in verse 7. He said, them kind of people, I know that's Ebonics, Jolito. He said, but such people, what people? People with divided loyalties. You can't love your pastor and not love the prophet. See, you can't be so unsettled by what you think is going to be preached or what you think is going to be taught or what you think is going to happen, that you don't stand for the Lord. You can't do that. If any time God needs you is when there is a vacancy. If there's any time to rally is when our leader is not here, so that God can see that we have learned well how to hold it down for the kingdom. James says, if you have divided loyalties, you messing up your blessing. Is there anybody in this room that think you can afford to mess up your blessing? No, you can't do that. You got to understand that he said that when you present yourself as evidence that you're divided, you have cut off the very promises of provision and providence from God. You made God hold back on you. God said, I want to bless you. I've desired to bless you. I said to you in Christian Academy this morning, there's a covenant arrangement for you, but you got to do it right. James says that you don't want to do that. He said, here's the problem. Verse 8, I almost finished. Isn't that wonderful? James said the problem is that their loyalties are divided between the world and God. Now, see, before you broad scope it, no, I'm world. I'm not God. I'm just flesh and blood. You can't say you love God and love me more than you love God. You can't say, well, my pastor ain't preaching. I don't want to hear it. No, you want to hear from God. The question that Deacon Davis asks me every Sunday is not, is there a word from you, but is there a word from God? And your loyalties must not be just to the pastor. You got to listen to the preacher because you're listening to God. You got to give to God. You can't say, well, when pastor ain't here, I'm going to save my money. You ain't saving no money for me. Now, when pastor anniversary come, that's different. And we want to respond in kind to that. That's different. But he says the problem is you're caught between God and the world. And then what he says in the last portion, he said it makes you unstable in everything. Did you know how critical it was that you get your God business straight? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about how critical it is that you get your God business straight? I'm talking to somebody. Have you ever considered how critical it is that you have your God? What did you just say, Pastor? I didn't say your husband. I didn't say your brother. I didn't say your cousin. I said it is critical that you have your God business. Don't you ever group out on God again. Don't you let nobody tell you where I'm going, you going. You make your affairs straight with God. You make your allegiance straight with God. You make your commitment straight. If nobody else does, you do. Hear him, our Lord, send me. So, Reverend, you sure about that? I am. Because sold out has two meanings. Has two meanings. The Hezekiah Walker version of sold out is a good version. I listened to the song about four times and wrote some notes down. I'm not going to, you know, but I saw three things in that song. One is he talks about the opportunity. Talks about opportunity. The second thing that he suggests to us is that he understands order. Because this is what the Lord expects of me. How many of you know you're under orders? All right, good. And then the last thing I saw in the song is that he recognizes opposition. Because you can easily become selfish if you don't get the first two right. And so, Pastor, sold out has two meanings. Yes, because the other sold out is bad. It is a poor people who sell out on God. Anybody ever been called a sellout? You didn't like it, did you? Anybody been sold out by somebody? Didn't like it. James Brown had the version. James Brown said, they sold me out for chicken change. I bet them rascals had it all arranged. They got me down, and that's a fact. I ain't going to get the rest of that. That's not good preaching. But you know what he said. Don't sell out like that. Our loyalties are to God. I mentioned this in Christian Academy. And it was part of my getting over my own frustrations. Because I had to look at what would cause a people to be disloyal.
You do know that in order to understand loyalty, you have to understand the prerequisites and the draw to disloyalty. It is easy to be persuaded to do the wrong thing. But this is what the writer says. This is what Paul says. Paul says, I am persuaded that nothing, look at your name and say, nothing shall be able to. See, nothing. I have made up my mind that my loyalty to God is my loyalty to God. I don't care what nobody else do. I don't care who don't come. I don't care who preaching. I don't care who's singing. I don't care. I'm going to be loyal. I made up my mind. My heart is fixed. My mind is made up. And so, James says, watch out for them kind of people. Watch out that people don't give away what they don't realize they're giving away. Because when you are disloyal to God, you're speaking volumes about your service to the church. Speaking volumes about your real relationship in the Lord. Your real relationship with God did not come about because of me. I know better than that. My real life is in Christ Jesus. So when you recognize, one, this is an opportunity. Worship is an opportunity. Going to church is an opportunity. It is a divine opportunity, a directed opportunity, and a disciplined opportunity. I didn't want to crowd the preaching. I'm just going to make those available to you. Divine discipline and direct opportunity. This is what God requires. The Bible says, come unto me. That's what God wants. The second thing, it's an order. Because again, he says, come unto me. God is not saying if you feel like it, or if you like who preaching, you can't run to every T.D. Jakes service. You can't chase after Creflo. You can't chase after Noel Jones. You can't chase after the latest voice. Because there's only one voice that draws us. And it is the voice of God. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write. And he wrote. And you understand that when you have orders, it requires obedience. It requires overcoming obstacles. And this is the good one. It requires that you're always on time. Don't miss your mark. And then again, please understand, the opposition is there. The devil wants to trip you up. How many remember when Paul told Timothy, you beware the wiles of the devil? How many of y'all ever been tripped up by the devil? Some of y'all ain't talking to me. Don't let that happen to you. Sold out has two meanings. One of them is a good thing. The other is not. And so what we want to do, beloved of God, because I love you, what we want to do is make sure that we're sold out for God. Three things, and I'm done. Three little short ones, not even going to expound upon them, but I'll just give them to you. One, you've got to learn how to be steady on your feet. How do you know that, Pastor? Remember what Asaph said? He said, my feet almost slipped. How many of y'all have had that happen to you? Amen. Some of y'all talking to me now. Second thing is, let me see if I got it right. Yeah. Yep, you gotta remember to stay in stride. How do you know that, Pastor? Because the Bible said this, a good man steps. And no, the Bible is not gender specific, so I'll just say this, a good church folk step. I know that's English messed all up to Scott. She about passed out when I said that. A good church folk. How about this? Good church folk steps are ordered of the Lord. Stay in stride. You will not be able to sing, he walks with me and talks with me, if you don't walk with him and talk with him. And then thirdly, again, I'm not going to deal with them heavily. I just want to put them out there. Time to go. Is you got to remember that you are a servant soldier. That's what you are. An old song we sang in the church, Mother Davis, that, oh, we are soldiers in the army. We got to fight, although that was a good church song. We're soldier servants. That's what we are. And I remember that song, and we're done. We're going to go, just like I said. We would sing that song, and everybody in the church would wind up on their feet with that little rock. Y'all remember the old church rock? We don't rock much anymore, Jasmine. We need to learn how to rock. Can you help us learn how to? No, you got on high heels. You can't rock. You need flats. You know, we are soldiers in the army. You know how to, and you hear that little church sound? But see, that's how you stand strong. Since Ozelia got it, she got that rock. She got that. She know how to do it. But what I'm saying is, you're a servant soldier. Two things in that. Servant means you serve. Who do you serve first? God. Always serve God first. Then you're a soldier. That's why Paul said it's warfare. That's why I like it. When Sister Harmony was singing, I said, "Oh Lord, I got the right sermon." Because this means war. Look at your name as your neighbor. This means war. Now, let me see if I can help you. I'm done. 1 o'clock. I like Bugs Bunny. I'm a real Bugs Bunny fan. And Bugs Bunny usually ends up in some kind of conflict with Elmer Fudd. I don't know why Elmer Fudd buys a hunting license every year, because no matter what he's hunting, he never gets anything. When it's duck season, Daffy outmaneuvers him. When it's rabbit season, Bugs outmaneuvers him. But one line always comes out of both Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck's mouth. When Elmer Fudd starts shooting at him with that shotgun, they both look at him and say, "This means war." And it's on from there. Obviously, some of y'all either didn't have no TV growing up, or you don't have any idea what I'm talking about. So my point is, warfare is a part of the Christian discipline. You got to always be ready to go to war. And Sister Walker said, "I love it when she..." See, she has an energy that all of us ought to have when it comes to the Lord. No matter what's happening in Sister Walker's life, when she's servant soldiering, you can see it. It's in her voice. It's in that little skip thing she got, you know. And I'm saying to myself, if everybody in the church had that kind of energy as a soldier servant, Greater Brookville would be greater. When she said you can't have a family, she's thinking about Mariah and Jake and Caleb and Larry and Jordan, thank you. I'm going to get all of them. See, they're your children. You know them. I don't have to. But I can see her looking at Deacon Walker, pointing at him, saying, "You can't have my family." And then she talks about her increase, and she's been increased. And then I heard her, y'all probably didn't hear, she said, "You can't have her Greater Brookville." I said, "God darn it, she's making it personal now." That's the kind of soldier servant I like to. You can't have my church, because my church is my life. You can't have my church. You can't have my disciples. You can't have my choir. You can't have my usher. This means war. Touch it if you want to. I've said it before, Jaleedo, and you can use this one. Don't mess around and hit me and can't fight. Because it's on now. You can talk all you want, but when war comes, I don't fight fair. Anybody else don't fight fair? Ain't no such thing as fighting fair. First of all, if you wanted to be fair, we wouldn't be fighting. I try not to go hard on this. I'm trying to back out of it. But you got to understand that you are a soldier servant. And you're the Lord's soldier servant. This ain't my army. I'm just an officer in the army. This is the Lord's army. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. So what do we do, Pastor? Well, we got to stay on point. This is my last one, you know. Good Baptist preacher, you have to say that about 5 times. This is my last one. You got to stay on point. Look at your name and say, "Stay on point." Yeah. And if you're an usher, you're an usher whether I'm here or not. You in the choir? You in the choir whether I'm here or not. You stay on point. You're a deacon? You're a deacon whether I'm here or not. Stay on point. Second thing you need to do, you need to secure your position. Because when we expect you to be there, we expect you to be there. Amen. Not going to divulge it, not going to dig into it. And then the last thing is this. If you stay on point and secure your position, this one's on God, he'll show you his power. I wish I felt like preaching the old style today because I'll be working that one. But I promise it wasn't going to be much. But I'm going to tell you now, God, some of y'all missed out on the power of God because you decided not to come to church. You decided not to give. You decided not to sing. You decided not to usher. You missed the power of God. And let me do a quick survey and I'll be gone. Is there anybody here to think you can make it without the power of God? Let me see if I can do it the other way then. How many of you know you need the power of God? There you go. Don't you ever get off point. And don't you ever stop and stay out of your position. You are the chief usher. You the chief choir. If you got to have a mindset that says, if I ain't singing, ain't no singing going to be done. Whether you're the lead soloist or three soloists down, if you're the last one they call to sing because ain't nobody else singing, sing like you the first order of the soloist singing. You got to secure your position. We need you. Nudge your neighbor and say, we need you. Thank you. She looked right at me. Thank you, Raven. She talked to me. Finally, somebody noticed I need to be talked to. Thank you, Raven. She looked right at her pastor and said, we need you. Come someday, dog. Stay on point because God wants to show you his power. And God always likes to show his power. So when you sold out, understand it has two meanings. One's very good. The other not so much. Can I make my last stand here? There's a story in the scriptures where Paul and Silas and John Mark and these guys are getting ready to go do ministry. Vicky, you know the story. And they're picking teams, you know. They're saying, well, let's go this way and Mark says one thing, Paul says another, and they wind up saying, okay, I tell you what, y'all go ahead and we'll go ahead. You know, so we learned that Paul picked Silas. And the point of the matter is they had a little disagreement there, but they stayed focused. And that's really, we're not going to always agree, but we got to stay focused. And we found out later they got to meet again and say, well for y'all, went well for us too. What we're doing is one thing. Yeah. What we're doing is one thing. So we got to make sure we stay on point for one thing. That we secure our position to do one thing. And doing that, God will always show his power for one thing. For in all things, to God be the glory. Anybody agree with me on that? Now, let's stand on our feet. We're going to leave now. We're going to leave. Was that easy? That wasn't so bad, was it? Anybody mad? If you're mad, just come stand right here. And don't be sneaking up on me now. If you're mad, let's just go on and open and say, well, I just want to have something to say about that. James is right. I'm going to go. James is right. That divided loyalties are detrimental to the work of the kingdom, and it's also detrimental to your life. Because when you're divided, when you're sold out on the wrong side, you keep God from blessing you. How many of you have ever had the experience where you want to do something really nice for somebody and they messed it up and you felt bad that you couldn't do it? Anybody ever lived that long? And I think sometimes We press the hand of God like that. I think God wants to do so many things for us. And when we don't stay on point and we don't secure our position, when we don't understand the devil's opposition and make the devil's opposition an opportunity, God says, oh, my goodness, how I wanted to bless you.
and he has to hold some things. Anybody ever flew into Atlanta and got caught in one of them holding patterns? You're sitting by a window, you can see the airport. Over and over again, you keep flying around Hartsfield-Jackson, and the pilot comes on. The first time the pilot says it, you kind of, you know, he's, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Captain speaking. We're in a bit of a hold pattern, and we're going to make a couple of circles, but we'll have you on the ground as quickly as possible. Thank you. And, you know, 30 minutes later, boom, boom, boom. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Captain speaking. Regrettably, we are still in a holding pattern. You know, by the fourth time he comes, you can tell he's frustrated. Boom, boom. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I tell you something. I'm about sick of these people down there in heart. You know, you can tell he want to get on the ground. You can see the airport. You just keep going round and round. You should have been there by now. That flight was supposed to be 2 hours. And you've been, you should, y'all ain't get it yet. God wants to show you his power, but you make him put you in a holding pattern. You should have been there by now. You should have been there by now, but you caused some things to get backed up in your life. God said, I can't let you come in yet like that. James is right. He said, what you do is you make it where God can't bless you. You're on your way, but you never arrive. You're close, but you never get there. Don't do that. Stay on point. Secure your position. And let God show you his power. Somebody standing here right now, you are so guilty, and you know it. And you're saying the thing to yourself, well, Reverend, you don't understand. No, I don't. And I don't think you're going to be able to make me understand. So I want you to understand me. Since I can't understand you, you try to understand me. I'm going to ask you one question, one more question, and I'm going to do what pastors all do, because Deacon Walker always reminds me, you got to open the door of the church. But I'm going to ask you one question. Was I wrong? Because if I was wrong, then I'll retract what I said. But I think I'm right. Don't you ever make our ministry look like that again. God is too loving, too kind, too compassionate for us to be divided in our loyalties. We love the Lord first. You can't love your pastor more than you love the Lord. You'll get me fired doing that. God will move me. My grandma was right. Grandma said, anything you love more than God, he'll move it. Because he said he's a jealous God. Don't get me transferred out because you done fell in love with me and more than love, more than you love God. God will move preachers like that. Amen. I've seen it. I said, oh, they done fell in love with you more than they love me. You got to go, Cap. Because I am the Lord, and I'm a jealous God. They come to see you, huh? Okay, I'll make it where they can't see you. Oh, they come to worship with you and then come to worship. Okay, not a problem. I'm going to be God. You know that old saying that can't have two cooks in the kitchen? Amen. Ain't going to be no two gods at Brookville. Ain't but one God here. And his name is Jehovah. Elohim. El Shaddai. Not Leroy. I love y'all. I sure enough do. But let's not make that mistake. Let's be sold out for him. Not against him. If you're standing in this room today and you don't have a God like we've been talking about, you don't have a God that you can love on like the one we love on, I invite you to come and give your life to Jesus. I know the blood still works. I know he still loves you. And he has been waiting for you to make an informed decision about him. This is not about giving your life to Greater Brookville Church, because Greater Brookville Church is just mortar and bricks and wires. Can't save nobody with that stuff. This is about give your life to Christ. You give your life to Christ today, you will have life forever. It's in the Word of God. From everlasting to everlasting, Alpha and Omega, and everything in between. And he says, I have prepared a place for you. Who? The elect of God, the chosen, the royal priesthood,
That's who's going to heaven. Ain't no other way to dress it up. Except you be saved, you will not see the kingdom of God. If you've not accepted the Lord's salvation, come on very quickly. It's about 20 minutes after the hour, and it's time to go. And I want you to go with a good spirit. I don't want you to go frustrated or angry. I want you to go renewed. Say, well, the pastor was right. He got me. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to stay on point. Here on out, I'm going to stay on point. I'm going to keep my eyes on what's important. The Hebrew letter says it this way, and I didn't want to cloud you too long, but I did want you to know that the Hebrew letter says that it is the Lord who is the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on God. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. Stay focused. Second thing is, if you've already accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you just need to kind of freshen it up a little bit, you need to be revived again. I want to pray with you today that the Lord would do that for you. I want the Lord to answer that prayer in your life. God, I need you to remind me of why I got in this thing. Why did you call me? What do you want? You know, when you're young, down south, Sister Laura can help y'all with this one in the parking lot. You have to be very careful about how you answer people who called you. You know, old folk used to call you. You can't go in and go say, what you called me for? That don't go well. I mean, even though you came, but you say that, you're going to get hit in the mouth. When you show up, all you say is, ma'am. Or you can say stuff like, you called me? And I think with the kingdom, that's really how we want to be able to come to God and say, sir, you call me? You need me to do something? You can always walk in the house and say, you need me to do something. You can't walk in the house and go, what you want me to do? Bam, boom, ping-ling-ling. Somebody say, oops, he came wrong. God wants all of us to come to him and do something. And so when you come because he called you, you want to say, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth thee. And you need to be revived in that. Come on and let the Lord talk to you again. And then lastly, again, if you're looking for a church home, and I pray, God, that you are, because you need a home. You need somewhere to call station. You need a foundational place. Our doors are open to Christian discipleship. I really believe that being sold out for God is a good thing. And if you'll come to God today and make your relationship in this house, I really believe that we can help you grow. We can help you learn and live and listen and love and be loyal. We can help you under leadership. And we can help you if you'll listen. In the day that you hear his voice, this is a good church. It really is. Trust me, I've been in churches. This is a good one. We may not be quite where we ought to be, but we way ahead of some folk. Because I think you all have made that your decision. You've decided to stay on point. I'm so proud of many of you. I've watched you grow. I've seen your families grow. And when I pray for you at night, I can pray for you in love, not in frustration. I get over frustration because I really know that you love your family. I've married some of your children off. I baptized your children. I know that God loves y'all. And it's a good church. Yes, sir. And getting better. Sermons like this make us get better. Ain't no need to eating cake and ice cream all the time. There's a good fat and there's a bad fat. Cake and ice cream is not a good fat. Collard greens, giblets, and gravy is a good fat. Let's eat solid food. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Some of y'all looking at y'all self saying, nah, Reverend, ain't no good fat here. Come on back to church. So God loves you today. Our doors are open to Christian discipleship. Our doors are open to restoration life. And our doors are open to making resident life. Would you come if you need those things? Our doors are open. We are so excited about you. Amen. Heads are bowed as we stand together. Father, in the name of Jesus,
call us to loyalty. Look on us. Examine us thoroughly. The Bible reminds us that you know the true essence of a man's heart, a woman's heart. And you told us, Lord, to be holy, to understand that the crown of righteousness that is laid up for us is laid up for those who have proven themselves righteous. It shall not be given on that day to those who have proven disloyal. So check us. Make sure that we are who we say we are. Hold us accountable to the giftings that have been bestowed upon us. For to whom much is given, much is certainly going to be required. You've made some of us sing beautifully. Some of us usher. Some of us lead prayers and teachings. Hold us accountable to that gift, that we would stay on point and secure our position. When it is our opportunity to teach, let us teach and not vacate our positions due to disloyalty or whims or blowing of the winds. Hold us steadfast and unmovable. That's what you require. Never again will we be found out of position, not on point. And then, God, show your power. When people ask us why we run and how we run, we will be able to say, it is the Lord. Not I, but Christ, the power of God, made me sing and serve and stand and fight, securing my position, taking care of my family, not releasing my family to the enemy, but declaring war. Look on this people. Show your power. You died that we would have life. John 10 reminds us that you came not to condemn, but to conform, that we would have life abundantly. Show your power among this people. And not, Lord, as a matter of showmanship, but as a matter of sanctification. Make us holy forever. Not just on one Sunday and then another Sunday, we can't find our way, but sanctify us forever. You can't have my family. You can't have my increase. I'm ready to fight this war. I'm sold out. My mind is made up. My heart is fixed. Nothing shall be able to separate me. Heal my body when I'm sick. Correct me when I'm wrong. Discipline me as only you can. You do it so well. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Bless God, young Savannah. She begins life. And bless these young people as they go off to colleges and universities. Some for the very first time, some so afraid they don't know how to be afraid, and some so confident that they're overconfident. Balance them out, Lord. Give mom and daddy peace at night. Bless those who are starting jobs and those who are career-minded. Recover the lost. Heal the sick. Thank you for these deacons as they go out today to share the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with those who are sick and shut in, not those who are just lame and lazy, but those who are sick and shut in, who cannot come, not who would not come. We're praying for the would not comes, that they would get their self together with the aid of the Holy Spirit. Fill this house afresh. Enlarge our territory. Strengthen the cords of our tent. Thy will be done in the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, stay on point Amen. God bless you. Go in peace. We'll see you again next Sunday morning. Wednesday for noonday if you can. Thursday as well. God bless you. Hug at least three or four people. They could use it. Amen.